Well, certainly that would be the best day ever when we stand before the Lord Jesus. And he says, enter in. All of those that are saved will enter in. And so that is definitely something that needs to be dealt with before that time. And no one knows that time. That's why the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And I want to say it's good to see everybody. And welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. And we've got quite an eventful morning this morning, and we're thankful for it. And at the conclusion of the service, we're going to baptize Brother Greg and Miss Sandra Smith. And what a blessing they are, two of our newest members here at Calvary. And they've shared the word with some family, got some family with us. And so it's an honor and a joy to have you be with us this morning to support Brother Greg and Miss Sandra. There's a couple other things I want to do before we get back into our singing. Last Sunday night, we had an ordination service for Brother Jeff Hodges, and it was a great service. We everything went smoothly, and Brother Jeff passed the test. And the examination on those Bible doctrines, but now Brother Jeff, he amazing man, him and his helpmate Miss Sharon, we appreciate them. And this is Jeff's first Sunday as a deacon here at Calvary Baptist Church, and we're so thankful for that. And let's give a round of applause for and so the Lord, he's working. He's ordinations are taking place, baptism taking place, new members are coming, and we glory in the Lord for that. You know, God is showing us, God's showing me that he can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. All we have to do is make ourselves available, and I'm so glad that God is using all of us ordinary people, to do great things for him, and we're very thankful. But I want to, Brother Jeff, if you would come down this morning, we have your official deacon certificate. And so we want Brother Jeff to come down and give that to him. And you can put that where you like, brother. But we love you. We appreciate you. And again, what a blessing it is. When there's ordinations taking place, God's doing something. So we appreciate that. A couple more things before I turn it over. I say this pretty often, but our prayer list is continually growing weekly. And we're not talking about, you know, little things neither. We're talking about sizable things. There's been folks in the hospital. We've had several funerals. Just all kinds of prayer requests, physical things, you know, been financial matters, and just all kinds of different things going on. But I want to mention this morning, that Brother Ed Sanvey, Miss Marianne Sanvey, two of our other new members sitting down front here, pretty sure we're all getting acquainted with them. Brother Ed has been going to the doctor pretty often here lately, seems like two or three times a week, Miss Marianne has said. In some weeks, he's had a melanoma skin cancer removed. But then he's been going to have his carotid artery checked out. Had an MRI not long ago, maybe a week ago or a week or so ago. And then they got the results. Miss Marianne called me yesterday, and they found a brain aneurysm in Brother Ed. And so, like I do for everyone here at Calvary, when there is something that you're burdened about, something that, you know, that's on the forefront of our hearts, we always want to have an altar of prayer, a family church prayer during that particular time. And what I want to do in just a moment, I want to ask Brother Ed, Miss Marianne, to come down. You can sit on the front row. Yeah, y'all come on down. You can sit on the front row, however you feel comfortable. And as they're coming, I do want to mention another man. He's not here. He's a shut-in. But Brother Arnold McCrickard, got a call from him yesterday as well. And on the 20th of this month, he's having open heart surgery. He has an aneurysm and two blockages in his heart. Please pray for Brother Arnold, Miss Emily, and spoke with her. And they've got a lot going on. And so these are two pressing things. But I do want to go ahead and throw in there at the same time, Brother Joe Vandiver's sister-in-law, Charlotte, found out she has cancer. And so you can see what I'm saying, how things are growing. And there's just a growing need for a corporate prayer as a church. And so what I want to do is all of us that would, let's just take our time. If you're able, come and gather around these two, being mindful of the other prayer requests as well. You can pray from your pew or you can come down however you feel led. And those of us in the choir, come on down as you feel led. This is the Lord's service, and we're not about routine and staying in it. And so, Brother Ed, you and Miss Marianne, I'm sure, are well aware of how much you're loved here and cared for. And we are certainly praying for you and through this situation, and we know that God is the ultimate healer. And so, let's you can pray along with me or pray silently, but let's...
sung What a Day That'll Be, praying for Brother Ed and stuff. Everybody get a songbook. Let's turn to page 393 and sing When We All Get to Heaven. If y'all stand with us, choir. Sing verse 1 and 4.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of joy that we make when we all.
Time to take our offering up this morning. We'll have our ushers come down. We welcome you visitors here. Y'all just feel at home. We hope when you leave here, you'll say you've been in the house of the Lord today. We love having, and we're looking forward to this baptism this morning. Brother Charlie, would you open us up with a word of prayer, sir?
Our gracious Father, again, may we come before the throne of grace thanking you, Father, for we look forward to that day when you come and take your church out of this world, Father, and we shall be with Jesus. Father, what a day that will be. And we want to thank you. We want to honor and give glory to you right now, Father. Father, you know the needs of many men this morning. We pray, Father, we pray for them. You give them grace and strength and healing, Father. Father, for those who are discouraged, we pray that you bless them and
I believe he was born in a manger bed as the stars shone bright that night. Wise men came to worship him with their gifts of pure delight. I believe he was born of a virgin birth, miraculous, it's true. I believe that this holy child grew up to be the deliverer for me and you.
I believe in the cross. I believe in the cleansing blood.
His power to heal the sick, cause the blinded eyes to see. I believe all hell has to lose its hold when he sets that old demon free. I believe that he walked on the roughest seas, multiplied food to eat. I believe that he's given us the power to use his name with authority.
I believe in the cross. I believe in the cleansing blood. I believe in a hill called Calvary, where Jesus died for you and me. I believe that he lives, and that he's coming back again. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, this I believe. Oh,
lost its power.
Of Jesus.
Soul cleansing blood.
Of Jesus.
It washes.
Pure gold.
Say amen. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be here this morning. Every time the doors of the church are open, it's always an opportunity and a joy to be here. And I want to say it's good to see Brother Don and Sister Carla Rich back with us this morning, and our missionaries to Peru, Cajamarca, Peru, and many other places. They've planted some other churches in the area, and we enjoy seeing them when they get to come this way. Remember, Brother Don, you tell me December 20th? December 2nd. I knew there was a 2 in there. And December 2nd, Brother Don is having knee replacement. And he said until then, he's going to wear it on down as far as he can. And remember Brother Don on that. Of course, Miss Carla, she takes care of him. They're just a blessing. Blessing to the church. Appreciate them. Let's take our Bibles this morning for a few moments and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And we're always conscious of the time, but we, at the same time, do not limit God. But we do like to be conscious of the time. And this morning we still have, we have the opportunity to baptize. And so we're being mindful of that. Just after the sermon this morning. And Psalm 100, I'm going to bow for a word of prayer, and then I'm going to begin reading from verse number 1 out of Psalm 100. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time. And Father, we pray for the next few moments, Lord, you would hide us behind the cross and help us to lift you up, Lord. Because if you be high and lifted up, you'll draw all people. Lord, we want to praise you this morning and talk about your goodness, Lord. And Father, help us all be reminded at this beginning of holiday season, Thanksgiving approaching, Lord, that we are a blessed people. And help us to maintain a spirit of gratitude. And Father, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for everything that you have done, doing now, and going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. We are approaching, well, we're in the holiday season officially, and Thanksgiving right around the corner. And it's just so hard to believe, but it is here. And which whenever Thanksgiving comes around, the November month, I always have my thoughts centered around the topic of thankfulness, gratitude. And in Psalm 100, in verse number 1, deals with that. Of course, we know David being the writer here. He says in verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's reading a short psalm this morning. Again, Psalm 100, verse number 1 through 5, reading it in its entirety. If you look at the title here, Psalm 100, in many Bible, of course, I have a, and preach only from the King James Bible, but there's normally a topic there or some words describing what kind of psalm this is. And it says a psalm of praise under Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. And the word psalm is also the same word as poem, or can be used as the word poem. And we know that the book of Psalms is a poetical book, such as the book of Job and Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the exception of one other or two. A poetic book. Of course, we know that when we go through the Bible, we can categorize books in certain ways. There's historical books, there's poetical books. so forth and so on. In the New Testament, there's the Pauline epistles. But this is a book of poetry. And many times these psalms, these poems, were set to music. Some believe that specifically this psalm, Psalm 100, being a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, this psalm was actually sung, and some believe they actually played and set music to this psalm and played it and sung and said the words and read the psalm to music as they were going to the house of God. And they were singing and praising the Lord. This psalm was sung during the times of offerings and other special times of worship. Many times you'll find that the psalms were set to music and instruments, string instruments, and were sung and spoke out of experience. So we have Psalm 100, and it's a psalm of praise. Not only back in church times and church days did the psalmists and others, those in the specific regions, they use psalms to sing, but also in our day, many people sing the psalms. Colossians 3:16, notice what the Bible says in Colossians 3:16. Just listen and we'll move on. I'll give it to you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so this is something not only they did in Bible days to instruments, they actually literally sang to these psalms. But many of us today, many churches actually sing these psalms put to instruments and stringed instruments. This is a psalm of praise. And another word, another form of the word praise is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving or gratitude. And I want you to notice in verse number 1 through 5, there are some action words here when it comes to this psalm of praise or psalm of thanksgiving. Look in verse number 1. There's the word make, action word. In verse number 2, there's the words serve and the word come. In verse number 3, there's the word know. And then in verse number 4, there's the word enter. And so there's some action words in this psalm, Psalm 100. And so with that said this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject of a thankful heart. Just having a thankful heart. And these action words that are mentioned in this psalm give us characteristics of a thankful heart. You know, we have to constantly remind ourselves we're living in a world that is deprived, and we're living in a world that's cold, and it's a dark world. It's a world that is rough and ruthless. And there's times where we can be tempted to have a spirit of ungratitude, or at least have this mentality of me, myself, and I, and you know, and so forth. But we need to be careful always to maintain the right kind of spirit. You know, it's from having a thankful heart that sets the tempo and the pace in our lives. We know that everything we do comes from the heart, and when there's thankfulness and gratitude in the heart, there's certain things that follow that. And so this morning I want to mention some of these characteristics of a thankful heart, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you as we mention them. I want you to notice in verse number 1, there's the word worship. A worship that is wholehearted is a characteristic of a thankful heart. He says in verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so that's a characteristic of a thankful heart, a heart that is filled with gratitude and thankfulness. He says, make a joyful noise. We know if we look at the word joyful or the words joyful noise together, it can mean simply just a glad shout. Someone said one time, Brother Justin, what's a joyful noise? Well, basically, a joyful noise is a person that is filled with joy and some kind of noise comes out, whether a song or testimony. It's someone who is filled with joy and they express that through song or testimony. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Again, the two words, joyful noise, can mean glad shout. Also, it's through the idea of possessing a cheerful spirit. someone who has gratitude, someone who is thankful for what the Lord has done in their life. It's simply a joyful acknowledgement. Now, in the Old Testament, if someone was serving a king, for instance, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Notice this. They had to come before the king with a happy countenance. Or in other words, they could not come before the king with a sad countenance. If they did, it could mean death by coming before a king. And so we see that Nehemiah, when he approached the king, in fact, on one occasion when he received word about Jerusalem and the gates being and the walls being consumed with fire, we know that he had a sad countenance, and it was by the mercy of God that he wasn't killed for that. And then also the book of Esther. Esther had to have a cheerful countenance. If she did not, then she herself could have been killed. And so we see that in the Old Testament, there's this expression of gratitude or thankfulness, and it has to do with this word, or these two words, joyful noise, a glad shout, cheerful spirit. The Old Testament dealt with a countenance being cheerful, but also the New Testament deals with a countenance being cheerful. We read in Luke chapter number 2, deals with the birth of Christ. Now notice this. The birth of Christ, when he was born, on one occasion, the angels came and rejoiced. And then in Matthew 21, there was the other occasion where Jesus was riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. And the people were saying, Hosanna, and waving palm branches, palm leaves. Hosanna means, or Hosanna, is the expression of adoration, or it means Lord save. And so as we look at those truths, that one who is filled with gratitude and one who is filled with thankfulness, there is a type of expression offered up to God. And we see that in the Old Testament, how they approached the king, Nehemiah and Esther. There was this certain approach they had to have before the king there. And then in our verses, he says, make a joyful noise. Have a cheerful spirit unto the Lord, all ye lands, or all the earth. I want to say this morning, one of the characteristics of a joyful heart is one that worships. A person that worships wholeheartedly. Now, we have at least three opportunities every week to worship the Lord publicly and corporately in the church. And, you know, my question is, at least it starts with me, and it goes all the way out to the congregation. How do we come to church? How did we come to church this morning? Did we come with a cheerful heart? Did we come with a glad countenance, a thankful heart? Now, I know we just had prayer for Brother Ed, and, you know, things happen in life, and we get reports, but ultimately, we know who's holding Brother Ed, and we know ultimately who holds the answers to life, and it's the Lord, and we know ultimately he's working behind the scenes. But how did we come to church? He says, make a joyful noise. Basically, that is a person full of joy and letting it out through song or testimony. The book of Hebrews talks about offering unto God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so we see in verse number 1, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That characteristic in verse 1 has to do with the worship that is wholehearted. Number 2, in verse number 2, a second characteristic of a thankful heart is a service that is focused. Look what he says in verse number 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Then he says, come before his presence with singing. It's a service that is focused. When someone comes before the Lord with gladness, someone who has observed and meditated upon their life and how God has worked and how he is working and how they know that he's going to work, that is a motivator for wholehearted service. It's a motivator to serve with a focus and fervor. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. We're not to serve the Lord grudgingly. You know, sometimes you'll come across somebody that, you know, they just look like they're, I don't know, ate a lemon or something trying to serve the Lord. You know, my goodness, is it that bad serving God? You know? And sometimes I think, are those the type of people who are, every time you see them, it looks like they're grudgingly, like they're, and no one's making them. But for some reason or the other, it looks as though it's a grudging serve. And the Bible tells us to serve the Lord with gladness. And again, I know things happen in life, and there's pains and there's setbacks, and there's emotional despair and things along those lines. But there comes a point in time where we have to get things in perspective and just serve the Lord. That's why it's always important to know that what you're doing is, and where you're serving in whatever capacity that is the place God wants you to serve. Because if we ever try to do something because it just needs to be done, we can find ourselves serving grudgingly. We can wear ourselves out and we can moan and complain. And then this spirit of negativity can fumigate, really, the whole church. But he says that there's a service that is focused, and the heart that is thankful will serve the Lord with gladness, he says in verse number 2. Come before his presence with singing. When the heart is motivated by gratitude for what the Lord has done, we can serve with a focused heart and a glad heart. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse number 14, notice this. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge not if one died for all, then we're all dead. There's a word there that is very, very significant, and that's the word constraineth. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And the word constraineth and the words constraineth us is through the idea of being overtaken like a fever. And so it's through the idea of one who has contracted a cold or a sickness and they have a high fever. And you know as well as I know, if you're not feeling well and you have a high fever, there's this, you got to find a place to lay down and rest a while. You are overtaken. And Paul is saying that the day that I met Jesus, I have been overtaken completely by his love. He says it's the love of God, the love of Christ that's constraining me. It's holding me together. In fact, that's another word for the word constraineth, is to hold together. He says, it's God's love that is holding me together. And I want to say this morning, that's exactly what happens to someone who gets saved, who genuinely accepts Jesus as their Savior, who repents of their sins and turns to the Lord for salvation. It's the love of God that constrains them. When times get tough, you don't completely fall apart and abandon. You don't walk away from the faith, because once you belong to Him, there is no walking away. And those tough times come, and we get the bad reports, but then we hear things we don't want to hear that's uncomfortable. We go through trials, we go through valleys, but yet it's the love of Christ that's constraining us. He's holding us together, and He's our motivator for worship. He's our motivator for service. And so He says, serve the Lord with gladness. We can serve Him with gladness this morning, because He's the one that holds us together. He constrains us. I want to mention a third thing this morning. And that's in verse number 3. Not only a thankful heart has the characteristics of a worship that is wholehearted, a service that is focused, but number 3, a characteristic of a thankful heart, there's a recognition that is embraced. Look in verse number 3. The Bible says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. David brings us to a place of recognition here. He says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. And this one phrase can really be divided into two parts. I believe at least most people have a mental assent of who the Lord is. He says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." But there's a mental assent of knowing who God is. But then there's the personal knowledge of knowing who God is. And the question is this morning, do you know in your heart who God is and not just in your head who God is? There's a gospel tract used to have probably some years ago. And on the gospel tract it said, "Missing Heaven by 18 inches." And it had the face of a man, and of course had a measuring tape, and being 18 inches from the brain down to the heart. And that's true this morning. Because someone can know the Lord up here. Yeah, I've heard the Bible. You know, yeah, I've heard the message of Jesus coming into this world. I've heard that. I've heard that. I heard that He died, and I heard He was buried, and I heard, you know, He rose again on the third day. Well, you've heard mentally, but what about personally in your heart? You know, asking the Lord to, what you've heard about mentally, to come into your heart and be your own personal Savior. You see, when it comes to a thankful heart, there's a recognition that is embraced. David said, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." And I believe the majority this morning can say that we know ye that the Lord, He is God. Not only that, we see in verse number 3, we know the Lord mentally. We know the Lord personally, those who are saved, that is. But also there's a recognition here that we're not self-made. He says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." And then He says, "It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves." A lot of people try to create the American dream in their life. They try to make themselves. You know, there's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having a retirement plan set in place. And there's nothing wrong with having, you know, a nice home and an automobile. But there's something that needs to be made known. We don't make ourselves. It's the Lord who makes us. It's the Lord who blesses us. We didn't make ourselves and create ourselves to come into this world. He did. And it's all about serving Him. Not only that, but look at the last portion of this verse. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are the Lord's sheep, those that belong to Him. He is our provider. Psalms 23 takes care of a bunch of the provisions that the Lord does. Look down, if you would, in verse number 4. He says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." The other characteristic has to do with a certain approach, an approach that is prepared, a recognition that is embraced, a service that is focused, a worship that is wholehearted. But in verse 4, an approach that is prepared. You say, what do you mean? Well, he says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. He tells us to come to church with a thankful heart. Come to church prepared to worship. Come to church with the spirit of gratitude, the spirit of thankfulness. You see, when we come that way, we give off an aroma. And when we don't come that way, we give off an aroma. And whatever aroma that we're giving off, it is contaminating for the one, but it is a sweet-smelling savor to the other. While coming to church with a bad attitude or this grudgingly serving mindset, it gives off a contaminating aroma. But if we come with a heart that has been meditating and being thankful over the Lord for His blessings, it is a perfume aroma. It is contagious. It leaves a scent upon us because it comes from a thankful heart, the spirit of gratitude. So He says to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The word bless here, the end of verse number 4, bless His name, means to kneel. It's just through the idea of paying homage to your king, or honoring him, being loyal to him, being thankful to him for what he's done, blessing his name, being thankful unto him. And then in verse number 5, he says there's an acknowledgement of character that flows from a thankful heart. He says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Number one, he says, David says that he's a good father. For the Lord is good, and indeed he is. He's a good, good father, like the song says. God the Father is. But then he says, merciful, or mercy. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. We serve a merciful God, and thank God he is a merciful God. Jeremiah talks about that in Lamentations 3, how that every day his mercies are new. And that's how he's able to embrace each and every day and move on with the Lord, because there's forgiveness and mercy to be found. And then lastly, in verse number 5, he says his truth endureth to all generations. His promises and his word. God's word never fails. God's promises always happen. Never fails. It endures to all generations this morning. And so there's an acknowledgement of character in verse number 5. This is a characteristic of a thankful heart. They view God as in his proper place, that he's good, he's merciful, and his truth endures forever. Verse number 4 is the right approach from a thankful heart. That is, they come prepared. Verse 3, there's a recognition. That is, he's our shepherd. We're not self-made. We know he's the Lord. In verse number 2, the service that is focused. In verse number 1, the worship that is wholehearted. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This morning, it takes work sometimes to always operate out of a thankful heart. But you know, as we are approaching Thanksgiving and we're in the holiday season, I just think it's appropriate to reflect on God and his goodness and everything that he's done and everything that he wants to do. And just say this morning that God's good. He's good to us all the time. When we're bad, God's good. And when we're good, God's good. We serve a good, good Father. Brother, if you want to come around, we'll have a verse of invitation. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And we'll give a verse of invitation, then we'll change the service. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for who you are, for what you do. We're thankful you're a good, good Father. Lord, you are your truth, you're merciful. And we're thankful, Lord, for the things that have been exhibited this morning. We're thankful for the people of God, the house of God. Now we pray, Lord, for the time of invitation. We pray that if someone needs to come, that they would come, Lord, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.